This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In Haiti, a prime minister resigns and law, order and the economy collapses. Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report. And we're live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Now, in the past few hours, Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry has resigned after days of fierce fighting in the capital. Heavily armed gangs have been controlling the streets of the capital, Port-au-Prince, demanding his resignation. And just to give you an idea of what it's like to live there, more than half of the Haitian population lives below the poverty line. Enomi Germain is an economist there.
Inflation is very high in the country for now because when there is a situation like this, some enterprises are trying to hike prices. Since 2018, we see that many companies closed. From 2021 to 2022, more than 16,000 jobs lost.
Enomi Germain there. Now, access to the airports and ports have been blocked, and that's disrupting the supply of fuel and goods. Let's hear from Martin Boot. He's chairman of the telecoms provider Digicel Haiti, and that's the largest company there by revenue. And he says they have emergency measures in place.
Our operations are affected, but we activated our emergency procedures a good 10 days ago now, which allows us to at least provide basic service. The biggest challenge we have is getting into the regions outside of Port-au-Prince, and we're currently using barges to transport trucks with diesel from the terminals to those regions to be able to power up our generators and keep service going. So far, so good. Things are up and running. We're able to provide basic comms. Our staff is safe, and we'll continue in these emergency procedures, I think, for a couple more weeks until things stabilize more.
That was Martin Boot of the Digicel company in Haiti. Now, let's do the numbers. When inflation bites, the price of bananas usually remain the same. It's been priced for under a dollar for decades. But Pascal Liu, he's from the UN's World Banana Forum, he says climate change poses an enormous threat to the fruit supply, which means we could see rising prices. Let's turn to India now, where the Supreme Court there has told the country's state bank to reveal the details of a scheme that allows political parties to get secret donations. And it could shine a light on who's funding Indian politicians just ahead of the elections. Let's speak to the BBC's Archana Shukla. Hello.
Hi, Leanne.
Well, I want to know, what is this electoral bond scheme?
Well, these electoral bonds are basically interest-free bearer bonds, money instruments which any individual or company in India can purchase from authorized branches of the State Bank of India to make donations to a political party. Now, these are anonymous donations, so the donor information is hidden. Plus, there is no cap on the number of electoral bonds that a person or a company can purchase.
So why did it become controversial?
When the Modi government launched this scheme in 2018, they said it will mitigate the use of cash in political funding by allowing donors a confidential channel to contribute to any political party. Now, critics and opposition parties have said that this scheme has done exactly the opposite. So the system has been challenged on grounds that, one, it is opaque. It hinders the public's right to know who is giving money and to which political parties.
Now, the State Bank of India has until the end of today to disclose the details of the scheme. Then that's due to be published on Friday. What are the implications of all of this?
In all likelihood, the State Bank will have to furnish the details of donors, the amount of money that has been donated through these electoral bonds, and the dates on which. What will not come as information very clearly out there is who has given how much money to which political party. So that bit of transparency will still be lacking from the information that State Bank of India submits. But it does bring about some bit of transparency, and it does also question the government's election funding system right before the general elections in April and May.
Really interesting. And I know you're gearing up for all of that coverage, Archana. Thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Thank you so much, Leanna.
Now, in recent weeks, we've been doing a lot of news on farmers protesting across Europe, and the BBC's Guy Hedgecoe has taken a look at what's been driving the disputes in Spain and elsewhere.
I'm on a road an hour and a half's drive northwest of Madrid, in central Spain's rural heartland. And farmers are driving their tractors in convoy along this road. This is one of dozens of protests recently by farmers here in Spain. And the mood here is one of anger and even desperation. César Cebes Soto represents the local farmers' union.
We're angry, we're fed up, because bit by bit we've reached a point where it's a problem of financial solvency. We can't be selling produce at a loss.
Spain is just one of many European countries which have seen such protests recently. In France, farmers disrupted food supply lines into Paris. Italian farmers drove tractors into Rome. Many of the complaints are associated with regulations contained in the European Union's Common Agricultural Policy, which provides support for farmers. Economist Javier Díaz Jiménez says the EU's attempts to make farming more environmentally sustainable are creating new rules and conditions.
These conditions require paperwork and they impose strict restrictions on the type of fertilizers farmers can use. All this increases costs.
In the small town of Madrigal de las Altas Torres, in the agricultural region of Castilla y León, I meet a local farmer called Ventura González. Ventura takes me in his car to see the land on which he farms.
The
combination of costs we have that we need to produce cereal have virtually doubled over the last 10 years. Diesel fuel, fertilizer, the phytosanitary controls, machine parts, and machinery itself. So we're making a loss because of rising production costs, and also because the prices at which we sell our produce have not risen in line with those costs.
European farmers complain that produce from outside the EU is not subject to the same tough regulations. There is another grievance. Following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the EU lifted restrictions on the import of Ukrainian produce, pushing down cereal prices in Europe, particularly affecting countries like Hungary, Romania, and Poland. Although the European Commission and national governments have made some concessions, it looks as if so far they are not enough. I'm the BBC's Guy Hedgeco for Marketplace.
And I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.